I have been cut to the heart. I know that I need to get things right with Jesus. I am ready to be in. God is clearly calling you and drawing you. If you're beginning to process that, I'm telling you, God Almighty working in your life.
More of Him, less of me. That's my cry, that's my plea.
Welcome to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Summit Point Church and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. We are the church. We have been called to take a stand for Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? Well, if you have your Bible, we are in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 47 for part one of the message, He Calls Us Together. Here's Pastor Tim.
We are in a series called Take Hold. Take Hold. It goes back to the women at the tomb when they were coming away having been told by the angel that Jesus is risen from the dead. And as they're going to tell the other disciples, all of a sudden they run into Jesus and it says that they fell down at his feet and they took hold of his legs and his feet, literally grabbing on to worship him and saying, "You are my God. You are Messiah. You are Savior. You are my hope. Take hold." And may we take that as our challenge. May we take hold as we go after our God with all we've got. So we talked about what it is to take hold of Jesus Christ, recognizing what he's done for us at the cross, right? His death giving so much hope for us as our sins can now be covered. And then you look at the empty tomb, his resurrection, that we can have life and life eternal, that we can celebrate all that we have in him forever. Because of his rising from the dead. And so we have hope of the rising eventually and ultimately into absolute perfection with him. Praise God for that. And then also last week we looked at what it means to have the Holy Spirit with us. Jesus, as he rose up from the dead and then he ascended up into the heavens, he didn't leave us alone here. It's God everywhere. God is in all places at once. And he, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, taking up residence in each of us who is a believer, crying out to him, we have the Holy Spirit with us, bringing comfort, bringing conviction, bringing empowerment and insight. We are not alone. In the middle of this COVID virus and all the struggles going on with it, we are not alone. Everybody say, not alone. Man, we are not alone. God with us. It's a huge deal. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see those two come together in the passage today as we celebrate that Jesus not only gave us the Holy Spirit, but then we get the chance to be the called out ones. I don't know if you know this, but the Greek word for the church is ekklesia. And ek, it means out. And then the klesia part, the called out ones. We are called out to be able to take a stand for Jesus Christ and to be able to celebrate him. The word ekklesia was actually used originally to say, let's rally the people into maybe kind of the town square. They were called out for a given purpose. They had a like-minded purpose in trying to accomplish something and they rallied to it. We are the church, the called out ones with a like-minded purpose. May God get all the glory. That's our purpose. May we celebrate him and may he get the glory. That is the role of the church. May we rally to that even in some darker times or some times that cause us to begin to be concerned or confused. May we be a part of that which is rallying together. All right. So that said, what does it mean to be called together? What does it mean to be the church? Even in these times, how can we go about doing that? So turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 36. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 36, and let's get it going there. Point number one, repent of your sin and accept Jesus as your king. Repent of your sin and accept Jesus as your king. Man, if we are going to make much of our God, if we are going to be a part of the ecclesia, if we're going to be a part of this church, the called out ones celebrating him, well then first of all, we need to start with our own repentance. Lord, please forgive me. I'm wrong. I'm setting this sin down. May you get all the glory. Man, repentance and then accepting Jesus as king. Here we go. As we pick this up in Acts chapter 2, we got to make sure we understand what's going on. Let's not lose sight of it, right? And so going back to Acts chapter 1 and the beginning of 2, which we looked at last week, the disciples were rallying with Jesus. It had been about 40 days since the Passover, since Jesus died on the cross. 40 days, right? And that's a long time, 40 days. And 40 days had gone by where they were talking with Jesus. They were trying to figure things out. They were a bit confused, quite frankly, and wondering when the kingdom was going to start. So as we pick up Acts chapter 1, actually the disciples are saying to Jesus on the Mount of Olives, we got a question for you. When are you going to bring this kingdom? When is this kingdom going to start, the kingdom of God? When are you going to launch it? You're the Messiah. We believe that now. We are in. We are focused. We have seen amazing miracle in you. Time to rock the world with who you are. And so when is this kingdom coming? And Jesus is like, hang on. Times and seasons aren't for you to know. Be patient. And here's the thing. Instead of me letting you know when that's going to be, and instead of it coming in anytime soon, here's what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit with power. And he's going to help you to be able to be my witnesses in all of this area and all the way out into the whole world. He is going to give you power. From that moment, the disciples, not really sure what Jesus had said, all of a sudden, Jesus starts ascending up into the heavens. And clearly, now they're definitely blown away. We had no idea of anything he was going to say. This was not the answer to when is the kingdom coming. Jesus ascends into the heavens and goes away. Like, that was not what they were planning on. And as that happened, they walked away. They had some days until the Pentecost feast was coming, 10 days to be exact. And so the 40 days from the point they were talking with Christ, 10 more now to the 50th day, that's what Penta stands for in Pentecost, 50 days from the time of Passover, the time when Christ died on the cross. So they're sitting there at Pentecost 10 days later, still blown away by what's going on and waiting for the Holy Spirit and not sure when that's coming. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came on them with power. And this massive moment of the presence of the Holy Spirit and tongues, languages, abilities to break across national barriers and begin to share the truth of who Jesus Christ was, that's what started up. And really, we're picking that story up. As they now have the ability to speak across languages, the Apostle Peter, he stands up and he starts delivering. Peter brings a message to all these Jews that were rallied around, devout Jewish men who had gathered together, hearing the sound of these foreign languages, which were actually their home language. And they rallied together, and Peter began to deliver a message that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the hope. In fact, he used several different scriptures in the Old Testament as he did it, and he talked about this promise from Joel that the Holy Spirit would come, that he would indwell the hearts, that he would change us from the inside out, this hope from the Spirit presence in us. He talked about that, and he's like, just so you know, fulfilled. Look what you see going on. Holy Spirit with us. And then he talked about another passage of scripture where David said, I'm just telling you that my throne will go on forever. He said, just so we're clear, David knew that he was going to pass away. David knew that he was just a mortal man and it wasn't him that was going to be on the throne forever. David knew that the Messiah was coming who would be God Almighty, who would absolutely be on that throne forever. And that Messiah King is Jesus Christ. Peter was preaching it huge. You need to know that these are answers to prophecy from the Old Testament. And now we're picking it up. In verse 36, here we go. It says, Peter talking here, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain. Right, everybody just say for certain. Right, don't miss this. He's like, you need to be absolutely convinced of this, that God has made him, and we'll define the him in just a second, God has made him both Lord and Christ. He's made him to be absolutely God over all, Lord, he's in charge, and Christ, Messiah, the hope, the one who would sit on the throne for all of eternity, he is that one, Lord and Messiah. Who's he talking about? He says, this Jesus. And then he throws a little modifier on it, whom you crucified. Can you imagine that moment? As they're listening to this and they're like, there is a guy who is the answer to the Old Testament prophecies, the Davidic throne, the hope, the Messiah. He is coming. This is amazing. He is the answer. That's awesome. Who is he? this Jesus whom you crucified. Maybe Peter even said it with more thunder. This Jesus whom you crucified. However it came out, know this. These people were some of those people who had rallied back at Passover just 10 days or 50 days earlier. And they were the ones that as the offering came out of, what should we do with Barabbas? What should we do with Jesus? They came to the conclusion with Jesus, crucify him. It was their words that cried that out. It was their want that cried that out. And all of a sudden they were aware that they had taken a stand against the Messiah King. They were beginning to hear this truth about who Jesus was, and the Holy Spirit was beginning to move in their life. As Peter shared the truth, this Jesus, he is God Almighty, he is the Messiah, he is Lord over all. And that's the guy that you led to the cross. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. This is an extremely important phrase. This does not mean they got really emotional. It doesn't mean that. I mean, there was emotion to it, but it was so much more than that. This does not mean they got a little bit, you know, scared, like fear rose up. Doesn't mean that. Yes, fear was probably there, but that's not what it means. This means that the Holy Spirit now pressed in with them and began to communicate to them, are you hearing me? This Jesus whom you led to the cross and said, crucify him. He is the Lord, the Messiah, the answer to the prophecy from the Old Testament, the hope from all of Israel. This is the one. And as the Holy Spirit whispered that, the veil was torn off. They were being able to see for the first time. This cut to the heart is an awakening moment. This is where God is revealing and lives are being changed. They're being saved right here, man. Cut to the heart as God makes it clear that that was absolutely a terrible decision. And all of a sudden, as they're cut to the heart and grasping the truth of who Jesus is, it says, so they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Now imagine yourself in that position where you're like sharing the hope of Jesus Christ. And as you're beginning to share with them and you're making it clear what's going on and you're helping them to understand exactly the truth of who Jesus is, in that moment where they grasp the vastness, the bigness, the godness of Jesus Christ, they say to you, well, then what do I do? What do I do if I'm standing guilty before him? And man, for each of us, we weren't there crying out, crucify him, but hear me, Jesus Christ, as he went to the cross, he carried our sin on that cross. Each and every one of us. And we're in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. What should I do with my own sin? That's what they're saying. What should I be doing with my sin? What should I do to handle this, brothers? What's the plan? Simple question. What would you say? What's your answer? What do you tell somebody to do when they're longing to get things right with Jesus Christ? Maybe you're here online with us today and you're longing to be able to get something right with your God. This whole thing going on with the COVID virus, the lockdown, and maybe there's been a ton of questions in your life and you're beginning to say, it's time for me to answer this before my God. What do I need to do to get things right with Jesus Christ? Here's Peter's answer. He says, repent. Let's just hold on that word right there. Repent. Repent is a very complex word, but it's a very simple word. Repent. It means to say, I'm sorry. I'm done with this sin. Please forgive me. That's part of repentance. Like, please forgive me. I confess it. It's wrong. I'm done with it. But it also means this, not just saying, I'm done with it. Please forgive me. But then saying as you turn, I'm done with that for real. I'm moving away from that sin. And so as we step into a life where we have sin, we're not honoring Christ for who he is, man, for us to repent of that, it's us saying, Lord, please forgive me that I've made this life about me. Please forgive me that I've made it all about my feel good. And it's time to be done with that. I'm turning from that. Now it's about you. May you get all the glory. You're in charge. Repent. Like, I'm done making it about me and what I want. It's time to make it about you and what you want, Lord Jesus. Peter's first answer, repent, turn from that sin, confess it as wrong and turn away from it. And then he says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being baptized, it's taking a public stand that you have repented. Like, it's over. I'm done with that. You'll notice a lot in Scripture, especially in Acts, that you'll see the words repent and be baptized. You'll see those combined together. Man, to take the stand of I'm done and I'm going to make it public. That public proclamation of salvation. I just want to make this clear. The baptism isn't what's saving. Everybody say, not that. Right, say it louder, say it bigger. Not that. Right? The baptism isn't what's saving. Well, how do you know that, Tim? Well, think about Jesus Christ on the cross. And he's with these robbers, these thieves on either side of him. And one of them says to him, this is wrong. You shouldn't be treated this way. Please remember me when you go into paradise. He's confessing that Jesus Christ is in charge. You're in charge of my life. I'm wrong. You're right. Please forgive me. And Jesus said, surely today you will be with me in paradise. That man was attached to a cross. There was no actions to do. There was no good works to be done. There was no baptism to take place. It was strictly this. I believe. I'm saying you're in charge of my life. Take over. Man, our job, what it means to be saved, is to let the Holy Spirit's pressing in on me to begin to change my soul. So that I can see Jesus Christ as my answer, I hand him my life. I say, I'm done with it being about me. I'm turning. Now it's about you. May you get all the glory. Repent and then be willing to make it public. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Please note that baptism, if it's going to be biblical, if it's going to be proper, will always be in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, right? It will not be in the name of the church. Right? If anybody asks you to get baptized into the name of the church, please don't do it and please change churches. And all of God's people said, like, that is not what Scripture says. It says to make sure we're baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust in him. He is saving me. He carried my sin and he is my hope, Jesus Christ. And that brings forgiveness of sins, it says, as you end up having this repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will be saved. You will have sins forgiven. You will have the Holy Spirit take up residence. That's what saved is, the presence of God with us moment by moment, day by day. He then says to him, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off. He's like, for all of you who are listening, for your kids, for anyone who wants to hear this, that's far off from God, far off geographically from here. Both of those could be implied in that term. Like, anyone who wants to hear and come to Christ, who's willing to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and God doing an amazing work. And then he says something else. He says, it's yes, the promise is for you, your children, and those far off. It says, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Salvation is super complex, and it just isn't about only what I'm doing. It's also about what God Almighty is doing. And we see in this passage, he's calling people to himself. John 6 says, whom the Father draws will come. The conviction of the Holy Spirit effectively working in the soul. There is a changing. There is a tearing off of the veil. We begin to see it as it is. We are ready, cut to the heart. And in that moment, we're like, I'm in. And maybe you're at that spot. Maybe you're watching today and you're like, I have been cut to the heart. I know that I need to get things right with Jesus. I am ready to be in. God is clearly calling you and drawing you. If you're beginning to process that, I'm telling you, God Almighty working in your life. It's not you alone trying to make something happen. It's your God working in your soul. Praise God for it. It says, and with many other words, he bore witness and he continued to exhort them. He was saying things like, save yourselves from this crooked generation. It's like, man, take a look around. It isn't going well. That sort of applies to right now, right? And take a look around. It isn't going well. And man, may we lean on our God instead. He says, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. Peter preached, 3,000 got saved. They're like, I'm done making it about me. It's time to make it about my God. 3,000 came to trust him as Savior. Praise God for that, man. Think of it this way. Our church, on a packed day, we do about 3,000 people would rally together here over the three services. 3,000, that's like this church established in one preach. That's what God did through Peter and his word. One massive church on fire for God, 3,000 people saved right then and there, boom, and God doing an amazing work. That was the first moment of him working with the apostles and giving them the ability to communicate and be witnesses. Power through the Holy Spirit. And it's a huge deal. May we respond to Jesus Christ. May we grasp what it's all about. You know, a number of years ago, Spanish-American War, so, you know, 120-some years ago, something like that. Spanish-American War going on. Teddy Roosevelt had a group of men he was fighting with, the Rough Riders, and they were actually thundering through. They were fighting hard. They were winning, and they were doing well. But the reality is they were starving. They were short food. They had money, but they'd had no food. They came across Clara Barton, the Red Cross. It was kind of the early stages, and they were talking to her. The Red Cross was established, and Teddy Roosevelt said, I will buy food from you. We've got the money. Please let us buy this food. We are starving. And she looked at him. She shook her head, and she said, absolutely not. Can't do that. He said, what are you talking about? We're in war. We need the food. She's like, nope, cannot sell you this food. They went back and forth for a little bit. And then Teddy Roosevelt looked at her and he said, what are you not telling me? And she broke a smile on her face and she said, this food is not for sale. There is nothing you can do and there is nothing you can give. I am giving you this food freely. And she handed it across to the men. And then she talked a little bit about the gospel message. Man, I'm just telling you this, salvation. There is nothing we can do and there is nothing we can give. May we just receive Jesus Christ, him for me, offering up salvation and forgiveness. I'm in. I am done with making it about me. I'm in. I hear your call and I receive this offer. May God get all the glory. And that's what it looks like. Just receive. Don't try to earn it. Don't try to buy it. Thank you, Lord, for what you're giving. I accept this. Please forgive me. That's saved. Man, have you asked for God Almighty to do that? He's offering it up freely, just saying, Lord, I am done fighting. I am ready to receive. May you please forgive me. That's it. Right where you're at, I'm done fighting. That's saved. May God get all the glory as we listen to him. As we don't try to be good enough, we don't try to buy it out. We just receive his forgiveness. May it be all about his praise and glory.
Thanks for listening to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Summit Point Church and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. If you are interested in hearing or viewing today's sermon in its entirety or for additional sermons, please visit www.summitpoint.org. We invite you to join us for our Sunday services at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 4:30 p.m. To register for a limited capacity service, please visit www.summitpoint.org. Alternately, you can view a live stream of our services. Find our online stream on our website, www.summitpoint.org, or by going directly to summitpoint.online.church. That's summitpoint.online.church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you'll tune in again next week as we seek to be completely His.